man who had her luggage to the back of the villa. The villa had whitewashed walls and windows that looked out over the cliffs and down to the sea. They took a steel staircase to the lower level and walked past an infinity pool and jacuzzi to Acacia's room. The young man placed Acacia's luggage in her closet and then lifted the house phone. He told her she should press zero if she needed anything. He pointed to a piece of paper that had the wireless password written on it. The room reminded her of a cave. It had been hewn out of the rock and covered with plaster that had been painted white. A pale gray tile floor lay beneath her feet. There was a desk and chair, a walk-in closet, an expansive bed covered with mosquito netting, and an ensuite bathroom. She removed her scarf and placed it next to her laptop on the desk. She retrieved her purse and walked outside, determined to familiarize herself with the surroundings. A clear plexiglass barrier separated the pool deck from the precipitous drop below. She leaned over the edge and looked to see any points of egress, but there were none. No one could climb up the cliffs except an experienced, well-equipped mountain climber. Similarly, even if one wanted to climb down from the villa, there was nowhere to go but into the sea. Three other doorways flanked the pool area, all of which she assumed led to bedrooms. Probably Nicholas's room is the largest one, and Rick and Kurt are staying in the others. She climbed back up the staircase to the upper level and wandered through the living room, dining room, and kitchen. The dining room opened out to a spacious upper deck, shaded from the sun by a huge canvas canopy. The deck had a dining table that was already set for a meal. Down the hall from the kitchen she found a home theater, library, laundry room, and a large bathroom with an adjoining steam room. She noted that several of the windows on the upper level could be used for escape, but one would still have to climb the high iron fence that surrounded the property. She stood in the front doorway and looked at the gate, observing the security guards. She'd have to check the area after nightfall to see if it was illuminated. Still carrying her Chanel handbag, she returned to her room. She had her Brazilian passport, along with the Swiss passport Nicholas had given her, and she had 1,000 euros she'd withdrawn from her savings account during her shopping spree in Geneva, along with a new burner cell phone she'd already programmed with all her contacts. Leaving the island undetected in case of an emergency would not be easy, but at least she had the makings of an escape. So long as she had a plan, she could relax. She opened all the windows in her room and bathroom and welcomed the island breezes. She sat on the bed and pulled out her old phone. Luke's voicemail was brief and to the point.
Cassie, where are you? Why are you ignoring my messages? Call me.
Acacia reclined on the bed and looked up at the white ceiling. She didn't want to speak to Luke, and she certainly didn't want to tell him where she was and with whom. But if she didn't reply, she was confident he'd dig harder, precisely what she didn't want him to do, for his safety as well as hers. It was possible whoever had pulled the BRB surveillance of her could be watching Luke as well. She sighed and tapped out a text.
I'm fine. Things at the hotel were brutal, so I quit. Taking a few days to visit friends. Back soon.
A gentle wind wafted in from the open door and caressed her face. She hoped the text would be enough. An hour later, Acacia was relaxing in the jacuzzi. She'd spent 30 minutes swimming laps in the pool, pushing herself to the limit. Then she'd put on a pair of sunglasses, reapplied sunscreen, and climbed into the heated whirlpool. The jacuzzi was situated near the plexiglass barrier and offered a view of the cliffs as they spread out on either side and overlooked the sea. She wondered what it would be like to watch the sun slowly sink below the horizon. She imagined it would be breathtaking.
There you are.
Nicholas approached from behind. He'd forsaken his black suit and was dressed in a white linen shirt and khaki pants. His feet were bare, his hair slightly mussed, and he wore aviator sunglasses.
I brought you a drink.
He handed her a glass of white wine.
It's from a local vineyard.
They clinked glasses.
You aren't wearing black.
Mentally, she observed that his more casual clothes suited him immensely.
"It's too hot for black, and I find myself in a much better mood."
He pointed to a deck chair. "May I join you?"
"Of course."
He dropped into it heavily and almost spilled his drink.
"Thank you."
She sipped the wine and found it refreshing.
"You're welcome. Sorry I was so long. Constantine has invited us to dinner tonight at his villa in Oya. That's the favored location on the island to watch the sunset."
"Do you want me to go with you?"
He frowned.
"Of course."
Acacia scratched her neck.
"Concierges don't usually attend dinner meetings."
"You're more than a concierge and you know it."
Nicholas sipped his drink.
"How's everything in Paris?"
"Fine."
She deflected any follow-up questions by pointing to the deck chair, which Nicholas had placed with its back to the sea.
"You're facing the wrong way."
"I like where I am."
She shook her head.
"You're full of surprises. I still can't believe you protected my cat."
"You're full of surprises as well." Nicholas lowered his voice. "Because we're dining out, I've sent the household staff home. The guards at the gate and the driver are local, but in my employ. Still, we should maintain our personas while we're here."
"Understood."
Acacia moved closer to him, and Nicholas leaned in.
"I thought Silka drew too much attention to this persona."
A wave of anger rippled across Nicholas's face.
"I need Constantine's help. This was the only way I could ask for it."
He straightened and took a large drink. "The household staff will return tomorrow to prepare breakfast. My advance team swept the villa for surveillance devices and removed them before our arrival. They've rerouted the internet through our secure server, which means your email is safe."
"They found surveillance devices?"
"Remarkably, there were only four, and none of them were in your room." Acacia placed her wine glass on the edge of the jacuzzi.
"Who do you think is behind it?"
"Constantine."
"Your contact? Has you under surveillance?"
"It's a game we play. He bugs me, I bug him. My team removed the bugs, but didn't destroy them. They're feeding disinformation to Constantine, which is probably why he extended the dinner invitation to you."
"I don't follow."
"For the purposes of this trip, you aren't staff. You're my lover." Acacia went very still.
"That wasn't part of our agreement."
"No, but I'm asking you to play the role while we're in public."
Nicholas took off his sunglasses.
"Any information Constantine acquires can be sold for a price. If interested parties think you're my lover, and we go our separate ways, no one will follow you. If they think you're staff, they may approach you."
Acacia removed her sunglasses so she could see him more clearly.
"That doesn't make sense."
"No one from my world has approached Silka since she took off with that American,"
Nicholas countered, his tone contemptuous.
"Constantine's mistress is hosting tonight's dinner. She's Jordanian. Perhaps the two of you will hit it off."
Acacia froze.
"Why do you think we'd hit it off?"
"You both speak Arabic. Constantine doesn't."
It took a moment for the tension in Acacia's shoulders to abate. She moved across the jacuzzi and climbed out. She wore a tangerine bikini that she knew looked very good against her tan skin, but she ignored her employer's perusal. While she dried herself with a towel, he approached with a white terry robe.
"Let me help."
She allowed him to assist her, and then faced him.
"I thought you were my friend."
"I am."
His dark eyes blazed.
"You're putting me in an extremely awkward situation with very little warning.
That's not how friends treat one another."
Nicholas rubbed at his chin.
"You aren't being asked to do anything illegal or scandalous. I'm just asking you to pretend for one evening. It will alleviate Constantine's suspicions."
"Why should he be suspicious of me?"
"You're new to his circle. You're intelligent and beautiful, with a talent for languages. A trained eye can discern that you practice martial arts. Constantine will assume you're Interpol."
Acacia scoffed.
"You have an incredible imagination."
"I have an incredible ability for recruiting talent. My associates know this. No matter what we say, Constantine is already investigating you.
It's possible he'll assume you're Interpol regardless. We need to misdirect him.
Acacia swore in Portuguese.
He's already investigating me?
Undoubtedly. But he won't find anything, of course. Her hand went to her hair.
Did you plan this?
My meeting with Constantine was scheduled long before I met you.
Really? What about his mistress?
Nicholas shifted his weight.
What do you mean? Constantine's mistress speaks Arabic. Did you recruit me so I could speak to her?
No, he replied smoothly.
Your departure from Paris was a last-minute development designed to keep you safe.
Acacia took a step forward, her eyes on his.
I'm not trained in espionage.
That's not exactly true.
Are you mad?
What is the motto of Le Clé d'Or? Service through friendship.
For one evening, I'm asking you to befriend another young woman who speaks a common language. That's all.
Acacia's hazel eyes flashed.
I'm not interested in becoming your mistress.
Duly noted, Nicholas responded dryly. Allow me to emphasize that I wasn't extending an invitation.
Duly noted,
she snapped. He grinned. She placed her hand on her hip.
Why are you smiling?
You aren't afraid to tangle. I admire that.
I'm Brazilian. We're all like this.
Nicholas brushed the edge of his thumb across his lower lip. Brazil must be an incredible country. She ignored the compliment and tied the belt of her robe more tightly.
When are we leaving?
An hour and a half. Is that enough time?
It's fine. Will dinner be formal?
No. I'll wear dress pants and a shirt, but no jacket or tie. A summer dress would be appropriate.
All right. We agreed Santorini was a trial period. As your friend, I have to caution you that if you put me in a situation like this again, I'll be forced to resign.
She tried to pass him, but he caught her arm. She looked up at a conflicted face. Nicholas's lips were pressed together as if he were angry. His eyes communicated something else entirely.
I admit, when I learned you spoke Arabic, I hoped you'd be able to discover more about Constantine's mistress.
He brought his face closer to hers.
I didn't realize.
He released her arm and placed his hands at his sides.
My apologies.
I'm grateful for your assistance, as always. She stepped quickly to her room and closed the door behind her. Chapter 28
Ladies, if you'll excuse us. Constantine addressed the women in English, which had been the language of conversation for the evening. He pushed his chair back from the dinner table. He was a handsome man in his late 50s. His dark hair, gray at the temples, brushed his shoulders. His blue eyes sparkled with intelligence, and he wore a day's worth of beard on his tanned face. Like Nicholas, Constantine wore a light-colored shirt and darker trousers. Even in casual clothes, he spoke and moved with authority. He stood behind Yasmin's chair and pulled it back, then reached to take her hand as she tottered on very high heels.
Enjoy the sunset. I'll have Theo bring you champagne.
Yasmin smiled and kissed him, wrapping her arms around his neck. Acacia averted her eyes from the intimate display as Nicholas pulled out her chair and helped her to her feet.
Andy,
he murmured a new nickname as he lifted her hand to his lips. He didn't break eye contact as he kissed her palm and the inside of her wrist.
I'll join you soon.
Out of the corner of her eye, she could see Yasmin and Constantine were watching. She touched Nicholas's cheek and stroked the area under his scar.
Don't keep me waiting too long.
His arm slid around her waist, and he caressed her exposed back with his fingertips. Acacia's nerves sparked to life under his touch, and she shivered, her eyes fixed on his mouth. She wanted to kiss him. He must have felt her reaction. He brought his lips to her ear.
Soon.
He stepped away, his dark eyes shining. She blushed a little and followed Yasmin. Acacia wore an indigo halter dress that fell to her lower thigh. Although high heels would not have threatened Nicholas's height, She'd eschewed them in favor of silver sandals that laced gladiator style to her knees. Yasmin led her to a terrace below the dining area that looked out over the sea at the setting sun.
How long have you been with him?
Yasmin reclined against the cushions of a comfortable chair, her gold dress billowing about her like a queen.
Not long.
Acacia sat opposite and set her bag to one side. A servant appeared with an ice bucket and expensive champagne. He served them before disappearing back into the dining area, where the low voices of the men could barely be heard.
Cheers.
Yasmin lifted her glass, and Acacia returned her salute.
Yasmin appeared to be about 10 years younger than Acacia, which would place her in her mid-20s. She was petite, with long, straight black hair and wide doe eyes. She was very, very beautiful.
Does his scar bother you?
Startled, Acacia almost choked. She swallowed her champagne in a rush.
No, why should it?
He'd be handsome without it. I suppose it gives him a dangerous look that's sort of attractive. Men from Monaco tend to be playboys.
She fixed Acacia with a challenging eye. Acacia shrugged, because she didn't know what to say.
Every nationality has its drawbacks, the young woman continued. Greeks have tempers, but they know how to relax. Not like the Germans.
Acacia was about to ask a question when Yasmin spilled champagne on herself. She cursed in Arabic. Acacia stood and wrested the cloth from the champagne bottle. She handed it to Yasmin.
I'm sorry about your dress,
she said in Arabic. Yasmin looked up at her in shock.
You speak my language?
Yes.
The younger woman took the cloth and dabbed at her dress before tossing it aside.
Sit down, sit down. I get so tired of speaking English. Constantine doesn't speak Arabic, and I don't speak Greek. Are you from Jordan?
Acacia hid her face as she sat and rearranged her dress.
I'm from Brazil, but the man who taught me Arabic was Jordanian.
I thought so. You sound Jordanian.
Yasmin beamed.
Are you Muslim?
Acacia blinked.
No.
Yasmin gestured to her Hamsa pendant.
I know non-Muslims wear it for good luck, but when I saw it I wondered. Why did you learn Arabic? I wanted to study international relations.
Acacia lied.
And did you?
Yes.
Do you translate for Pierre?
Yasmin sipped her champagne again.
No. I don't have anything to do with his work.
Acacia mirrored Yasmin's movements.
Do you translate for Constantine?
Yasmin laughed.
Never. I'm a trained engineer, and he doesn't let me do anything with that either. But I find ways of amusing myself.
Acacia suppressed her surprise.
What kind of engineering?
Mechanical. I studied in Germany.
Yasmin relaxed in her chair and rested her head on the cushions.
Most of Constantine's associates are so boring. They're all business types. Pierre is nice, of course. He's one of the few men who doesn't treat me as if I'm an idiot. He was with that Swiss woman before. The model. Yes.
Acacia's tone grew frosty. She couldn't help it. The mention of Silke made her tense. Yasmin wore a speculative expression.
Is he good to you?
Very.
Acacia smiled.
When you move on, avoid Russians.
Yasmin finished her champagne and stood to pour another.
Let's get drunk. The men could talk for hours.
She filled Acacia's glass and placed the bottle in the bucket. Acacia looked hard at the champagne. She had no intention of getting drunk, but perhaps she could distract Yasmin by persuading her to talk about herself.
Do you mind if I ask about Russians? I haven't encountered any so far, but I'd rather be prepared.
Yasmin gave Acacia a searching look. Then she lifted her gaze to the dining area, where Pierre and Constantine stood. They were deep in conversation, both held glasses of what looked like scotch, and Constantine was smoking a cigar.
I hate when he does that.
Yasmin wrinkled her nose.
The smell will be all over him, and later it will be all over me.
She returned to her seat and took a long draught of champagne.
I was with a Russian before Constantine. He knows, but we don't discuss it.
Acacia eyed the men on the balcony.
Was the Russian bad to you?
You could say that. Of course, I didn't know what I was getting into. I met him at a club in Frankfurt.
Yasmin turned to face the sunset. When she didn't continue, Acacia remained silent, trying to figure out what to say next.
He was a Philistine,
Yasmin remarked.
Lots of money made quickly. No culture, no class. It was like living with a barbarian.
Acacia made a sympathetic noise.
So I'm with him, and he takes me out. He buys me presents. He invites me to his home in Russia, and I go. Then I'm stuck in his house, outside Moscow, in the middle of winter. He has all this stuff, all these valuable things, hidden in a secret room. He won't let anyone look at them, not even me. Well, not on purpose. He had a Fabergé egg. Do you know what that is?
I've only seen them in pictures. They're very rare.
Exactly. It was small, but it was gorgeous. It was made of gold and had a large diamond on it. It sat on its own pedestal. But instead of displaying it in the open, he had it on a shelf in a vault, next to a pair of elephant tusks.
Elephant tusks?
Yes.
Yasmin laughed.
Can you believe it? Running from the floor almost to the ceiling are these ivory tusks and then a Fabergé egg. He had no sense of style, no concept of how to display art. I'm not even sure he knew what he had.
She passed a hand over her eyes.
On the other side of the tusks was a drawing of a little girl having her hair done. And the room was full, floor to ceiling, with all kinds of artifacts, just thrown into the room the way someone stores junk.
Why didn't he have the items on display?
Yasmin threw her hands up.
Exactly. He owned a huge modern house with expensive decor. When we went out, he threw money around like he was a king. But then he had all these hidden treasures. I found the vault open by mistake one day when I was in that part of the house and he'd left the door open. The asshole dragged me out by my hair and punished me.
Acacia inhaled loudly.
I'm sorry.
That's when I knew I had to get out. I like sex and I like to party, but I draw the line at punishment. Too bad it took me a few months to get away from him.
He wouldn't let you go?
Yasmin gave Acacia a hard look. You know how it is. Acacia nodded as if she knew. I bided my time, I saved all the money I could get my hands on, and I built a ladder so I could climb out the bedroom window.
You're joking.
No,
Yasmin was triumphant.
I'm an engineer. I build things. I bribed one of the boys in the kitchen to smuggle me off the estate and into Moscow. Then I left the country. I was lucky. I heard rumors of other girls who were caught trying to escape.
She drank more champagne.
Weren't you worried he'd come after you?
Of course. That's why I went to the Jordanian embassy. I kept my mouth shut about what happened, and I told them I was a tourist who'd lost her passport. When I got back to Frankfurt, I hooked up with Konstantin. I told him about the Russian, and he promised to protect me. I've been with him ever since.
I'm glad you're all right.
So am I.
Yasmin gestured to the bottle.
Let's finish this, so we can get another.
Acacia knew better than to try to keep pace with Yasmin's drinking. That's why at the end of the evening she was still sober when she and Nicholas returned to the villa. A security agent she had never met swept them for bugs but found nothing. Acacia realized the world Nicholas inhabited was one in which trust was entirely absent. He thanked her for accompanying him to dinner, but he was distant as he escorted her to her room. He didn't ask what she discussed with Yasmin. Instead, he bid her good evening and strode away without a backward glance. Acacia assumed his meeting with Konstantin had not gone as planned. Nicholas had been silent the entire drive home, almost grim. Perhaps the whole trip had been a waste. She removed her makeup and was about to take a shower when her stomach growled. The idea of a midnight snack led to thoughts of eggs, which led to thoughts of Fabergé, which led back to her conversation with Yasmin.
Yasmin's Russian lover had been a collector, but he'd appeared to gather objects rather than artwork, with the exception of the drawing Yasmin mentioned, a little girl having her hair done. Something about the description stuck in Acacia's mind. She pulled out her laptop and clicked on an image she'd saved, The Mont Family by Degas. The pastel drawing featured three females, including a young ballerina, whose mother was fixing her hair. Acacia closed her eyes and went over the evening's conversation in her head. Yasmin had described her lover's collection as a haphazard assortment, hidden in a secret room. She listed a Fabergé egg, elephant tusks, and a drawing of a little girl having her hair done. Acacia racked her memory to think of another famous drawing that matched Yasmin's description. None came to mind. On impulse, she accessed an online art database she'd used at the Sorbonne and typed hair into the search engine. She filtered the results, excluding sculptures and carvings. A few works remained, but many of them featured women and not girls. A painting from The Hague depicted a girl having her hair done, but according to the website, the painting wasn't missing. Acacia drummed her fingers against the desk. It was probably a coincidence. The drawing Yasmin described could have been done by anyone, including a friend or relative of the Russian, which would explain why it didn't appear in the database. Nicholas's sister had been murdered because of a similar drawing, and her murder remained unsolved. Certainly Nicholas deserved every piece of information related to the artwork, even if it was only coincidental. Acacia closed her laptop and drew a deep breath. Nicholas wasn't in a happy mood. Despite keeping up appearances at the party, it was clear he was upset about something. She didn't relish bearding the lion in his den, but she felt honor-bound to tell him what she'd learned. It was dark, and the moon was high in a cloudless sky. She could see its reflection below on the sea and the surface of the pool. A breath of wind blew her curls about her face and floated over her skin. Still dressed for dinner, she skirted the pool and walked to Nicholas's bedroom. She knocked on the door. A moment later, he emerged, his white shirt unbuttoned and untucked, and his feet bare. Acacia couldn't help but notice his trousers. It looked as if he had just pulled them on. They were zipped, but unfastened at the top. Acacia felt her mouth grow dry. He leaned a hand against the doorpost. "Can I help you?"
"Yes,"
she replied.
"I mean, no,"
she frowned.
"I came to help you."
"I'm eager for help,"
he teased. Her frown deepened. He pushed himself off the doorpost.
"Come in. Can I get you a drink?"
"No, thank you. I've had enough."
He chuckled and moved to a bar set against the wall. He poured a glass of tonic water and topped it with a wedge of lemon.
"Dinner was delicious, don't you agree?"
"Yasmin said something I think you should know."
Nicholas's eyes lasered into hers.
"What did she say?"
Acacia dug her fingernails into her palms, suddenly anxious.
"You were right. She was eager for someone to talk to. We chatted in Arabic, and she told me about her ex-boyfriend, a Russian."
Nicholas put down his glass. His eyes grew alert.
"Continue."
"She didn't tell me his name, just that he had an estate outside Moscow. Yasmin said his money was new, and he'd made it quickly. He collected things, but she referred to him as a Philistine who had no idea what he had."
"And did she?"
His tone was harsh.
"Not precisely. He had a secret room at the estate, where he kept everything. She only saw it once, but she described a Fabergé egg, a pair of elephant tusks, and a drawing."
"Acacia," he cautioned. "Forgeries are legion in the art world. It's very easy for the nouveau riche to be duped or to pretend to have an original just to impress." She folded her arms across her chest.
"He wasn't trying to impress her. She was already living with him. He kept the good secret even from her, but that's not why I'm here. She said there was a drawing of a little girl having her hair done."
Nicholas stared. When he didn't respond, Acacia grew flustered.
"I didn't think to ask her about it, It didn't occur to me until later that she could have seen your Degas. But I searched a fine art database for an image of a girl having her hair done. The only drawing I could find was the one stolen from you.
Nicholas's expression grew rigid. You think the Russian has it?
I don't know. Yasmin didn't describe the girl as a ballerina, so perhaps the drawing is by someone else. But if her boyfriend was a collector, it's possible the items in his vault were genuine. It's possible he has your drawing.
She didn't mention his name?
No. She said he punished her when he found her in a secret room. She escaped by climbing out a window.
Nicholas exhaled. That's quite a story.
I thought you should know.
She could be lying.
Certainly. But she says Konstantin is aware that she fled from this Russian and has pledged to protect her.
Nicholas rubbed his chin. He mentioned something about her having a troubled past.
She's a Jordanian engineer who worked in Frankfurt. It sounds like her troubles began with the Russian.
Nicholas covered his face with his hands. Acacia watched as his shoulders began to shake. She touched his arm.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to upset you. I was only trying to help.
Nicholas threw back his head and roared at the ceiling. He lifted Acacia into his arms and twirled her around, laughing.
I knew you'd bring me luck. I knew it.
She gasped and clutched his shoulders.
What have I done?
He stopped spinning and held her against his chest, her feet dangling above the floor.
I've been investigating the theft from various angles, the crew, the buyer, the artwork. I know the crew was Bosnian, but I don't know who the buyer was. Because the goods are tied to a murder, all my leads were quickly exhausted.
He placed Acacia on her feet, but kept his arms around her.
A few years ago, I heard rumors about a Russian collector with indiscriminate taste who's been buying up artifacts. I haven't been able to uncover his identity.
You know about him?
I don't know if the collector I've been hearing about is Yasmin's Russian. There's a lot of money in Russia, much of it from the black market. The man I heard about is one of the top figures and very powerful. I had hoped my meeting in Paris would bring me closer to finding him. Then Marcel was attacked.
The Russian had Marcel attacked?
Not the Russian, the dealer I was supposed to meet. He does business in Russia. But Yasmin's description and her connection may lead me to the man I'm looking for.
He twirled Acacia around again, grinning widely. When he stopped, she was almost breathless. She remained wrapped tightly in his arms, lifted off her feet. His eyes searched hers. He leaned closer, just an inch.
Acacia,
he whispered. She could feel his breath on her face. He loosened his hold a fraction, and she slid down his chest. Yet when her feet found the floor, he didn't release her. Her hands rested on his chest, the gap between the two sides of his unbuttoned shirt revealing a sculpted physique dusted with dark hair. She could smell his cologne, and beneath it, the clean aroma of soap. His left hand slid down the exposed skin of her back to span the hollow just above where the skirt of her dress began. He flexed his hand, and she felt the warmth of their contact ripple up her spine. His other hand pushed the curls away from her cheek.
I didn't get a chance to tell you how beautiful you looked this evening.
Embarrassed, she wanted to look away, but found she couldn't. His dark brows drew together.
You're so much more than a beautiful face, but can't I praise your beauty?
She didn't answer. He cupped her cheek.
You charmed Konstantin and Yasmin. Your charm is why she took you into her confidence.
Sometimes you long to be able to speak your first language with someone who understands.
He smiled.
I think it's more than just your facility with Arabic. It's you.
She leaned against his palm.
Acacia, there's so much corruption in my world. Lies, betrayal, viciousness. You don't know how lovely it is to be in the presence of someone truthful and honorable.
She laughed softly. She couldn't help herself. It had been a long time since she'd received such compliments. She was out of practice.
I like to hear you laugh.
Nicholas tightened his hold and brought her chest against his.
Look at those eyes. A man could get lost in eyes like those.
He lowered his mouth to within a hair's breadth of hers. Acacia closed her eyes. There was a pause, which seemed to last forever. Then something warm pressed against her cheek. Nicholas repeated the embrace on her other cheek, and released her. Confused, she opened her eyes. He stood a foot away, out of reach.
Good night, Acacia,
he said gruffly.
Rest well.
She stood and gazed up at him, baffled by what had just happened. Nicholas's eyes were carefully guarded. A wave of embarrassment washed over her, and she fled, her indigo dress fanning out, as she ran like a deer to her room. Chapter 29
This shall not stand. It was a silly thing, really. On occasion, a word or phrase would take residence in her mind, like the refrain of an annoying song. What had happened with Nicholas the night before could not stand, which was why Acacia was typing up her resignation letter. The door and windows to her cave-like rooms were open, and the bright sunshine poured in. An hour earlier, one of the household staff had brought a breakfast tray. It sat on its stand by the door, nearly empty. It had been a feast. Coffee, fresh yogurt with honey, fruit, and bread and cheese. She'd awoken ravenous and slaked her hunger next to the pool. She'd seen Rick and Kurt that morning, but Nicholas's bedroom door remained closed. She surmised he was still asleep. She reread her resignation letter and attached it to an email she'd drafted to Madame Bishop, blind copying Nicholas. She didn't press send, not yet. She was attracted to Nicholas. There was no reason to deny it. He was handsome, intelligent, and charming, but much more. His devotion to his sister and her memory revealed a nobility of soul that Acacia admired. She also liked his parents and appreciated their kind hospitality. She'd wanted Nicholas to kiss her and was sorely disappointed when he'd opted for her cheek instead. But he was her employer. It was highly unprofessional to become romantically involved with a supervisor, which was why she felt compelled to resign. She'd return to Paris, and hopefully Madame Bishop could help her find another position as an executive assistant. Her hope of finding work as a concierge would have to be set aside, at least in the short term. She wondered if her friendship with Nicholas would survive her resignation. Acacia felt a slight twinge, but it was a twinge she had no business feeling. Perhaps Nicholas was attracted to her, perhaps not. He'd been emotional about the possibility of locating the stolen Degas. That emotion had likely translated into a momentary lapse in judgment. He would continue the quest for his family's artwork, and she would go home. She checked her bank account balances and was gratified to see that the Victoire was still paying her, as they'd promised. She transferred the regular monthly amount to her mother's account in Brazil and tapped out a short email to confirm the transaction. Her mother had to know she was avoiding her. Acacia hadn't returned any of her calls, and had let her mother think she was still in Paris. She'd explain everything later, when she had more privacy. She was in the middle of a text to Kate when a knock sounded. She turned to find Nicholas standing outside her open door.
Good morning.
His tone was warm, but his eyes were wary.
Did you rest well?
She closed her laptop.
Yes, and you?
Tolerably, I suppose.
He brushed his hair from his forehead. He glanced at the empty tray.
You've already had breakfast.
She nodded, still clutching her phone. His attention focused on her phone for a moment.
Spend the day with me.
She looked at him with surprise.
Sorry?
He entered her room.
We don't leave until tomorrow. Let's go to the beach.
Why?
He reared back and looked remarkably as if she'd wounded him. She flushed.
I beg your pardon. That was rude. Nicholas, I've decided to resign my position with you.
His expression tightened. If that's what you want.
I think it's best.
He paused. Since you're resigning, I'm free to enjoy your company.
As a friend?
Acacia asked in earnest. Is that what you want? His tone was a challenge.
It seems you can't decide what you want me to be.
He took a step closer. Oh, I've decided. Acacia placed her phone on her desk and changed the subject.
Were you able to find out more from Marcel's journal?
Not from the journal, Nicholas hedged.
From some other source?
I was able to discover the name of the man I was supposed to meet in Paris. My team tracked one of your attackers, and he led us to a Parisian art dealer who does a hell of a lot of work in Russia. Unfortunately, I can't confirm the dealer's identity with Marcel, so I can't be sure the dealer who sent men after you is the same person behind the attack on Marcel.
Marcel is still unconscious?
No, he's dead. Acacia made a horrified noise. Nicholas took a step closer. I'm sorry to tell you this. He died yesterday of his injuries. She grabbed at her hair.
They killed him. They beat him so badly he died.
Yes, I'm sorry. Nicholas placed his hand on her shoulder. Can I get you something? A glass of water?
No. Can you give the dealer's name to the BRB?
Nicholas squeezed her shoulder and moved away. Given the fact that BRB surveillance failed you, I'm not in a hurry to trust them. I'll pass the name to the Minister of the Interior, but I'm going to warn him that some of his BRB agents may be compromised. Acacia looked up at Nicholas.
The dealer shouldn't be allowed to get away with this.
He won't, Nicholas replied firmly. My team is already investigating the dealer's Russian contacts. We're going to cross-reference those names with Yasmin's description and see if there's any overlap. At the same time, I'm going to approach Konstantin to see if he can put me in touch with someone who's done business with Yasmin's ex-boyfriend.
I thought your meeting with Konstantin didn't go well.
Nicholas frowned. What makes you say that?
You looked unhappy last evening. You didn't say anything in the car on the way back.
My mind was heavy with other thoughts. She regarded him skeptically. He cleared his throat. In addition, the contact Konstantin provided me with last night will not bring me closer to my goal.
Yasmin is afraid of the Russian, and Konstantin hates him, presumably. Why not ask them for his name?
Remember that Konstantin knows me as Pierre Breckman. I can't tell him I'm looking for the Cassira pieces. Also, names are rarely exchanged.
What if the Russian is the one you're looking for?
Then I have to find another way of discovering his identity. Although Konstantin may decide to put me in touch with someone who's done business with Yasmin's ex, that way he remains at arm's length. Nicholas gave Acacia a searching look. We don't have to go to the beach. There's an art gallery I'd like to show you. Or we could visit the beach in the morning and the gallery after lunch. She rubbed her forehead.
Of course I enjoy your company, Nicholas. But what will your other staff think?
His brow furrowed. I'm not inviting you to do anything outrageous. Please don't blame me for being attracted to you. Is that so great a fault? His voice and the look in his eyes were endearing. Acacia had to tamp down the thrill she felt at his admission. Perhaps he'd wanted to kiss her last night after all. She wondered what had held him back. Perhaps he, like her, was conscious of the risk involved when one crossed a line.
I need a few minutes to change and pack a bag.
Good. We'll drive down to Red Beach, near Akrotiri. We'll stay as long as you like, and then have lunch and visit the art gallery. Nicholas bowed. Bring a change of clothes for later tonight. I'll take you to dinner at a restaurant on the cliffs. As she watched his retreating back, Acacia tried to take stock of her feelings. They were entirely too conflicted.
Why aren't we taking the Range Rover?
Acacia stood next to a Jeep, open at the top as well as the sides. Nicholas wore sunglasses, a linen shirt, and khaki pants. I thought it would be fun to take the Jeep. He looked over his shoulder. Rick and Kurt will follow us. She turned to follow his gaze. The silver vehicle was parked behind them, ready to move. She scowled. I'm sorry. He eyed her reaction. I can't travel without them.
After what happened with Marcel, I don't blame you. I feel awkward around them, though.
You'll get used to them. I pay them a tremendous amount of money to protect what I value. He gave her a look, heavy with meaning, before he helped her climb into the jeep. He crossed to the driver's side and took the wheel, then piloted the vehicle through the gates and onto the road. Acacia rummaged in her bag for a scarf and tied it over her hair. The sound of Nicholas's laughter rang out. She gave him a sidelong glance. It should be a crime to look so fetching in a headscarf, he said. He bumped her elbow with his as he moved the gear shift.
You don't have to worry about your hair.
She eyed him behind her sunglasses.
Mine would be a mess if I let the wind get at it.
You don't like my hair? He pushed it back from his forehead. She grinned.
Vanity, thy name is Nicholas.
I'm far from vain. His tone grew serious. How could I be? Something about the way he said the words warranted a response. Acacia looked at his profile while she spoke.
As your friend, I would tell you not to worry about such things. The people that count, the good people, will remember your words and your actions, and how you treated them. Over time, that's what forms our impression of beauty or handsomeness, not just the outward appearance.
A muscle jumped in his jaw. Do you really believe that?
Yes.
She turned in her seat so she could face him, even though he kept his eyes on the road, mostly.
A lot of attractive and powerful guests came through the Victoire. I can't tell you how quickly my evaluation of attractiveness plummeted when someone was rude or condescending.
What if the person apologized and was sorry for it? She turned to face the road again. It was extremely bumpy, and Acacia had to hold tight so she wouldn't bounce around too much.
If the apology was sincere, I'd be inclined to forget it, provided the bad behavior wasn't repeated.
Nicholas remained silent. Acacia felt compelled to break the silence at least once more.
I've done things I regret. I hope they won't be held against me forever. Keeping that in mind, I try to give a little latitude to others when they make mistakes.
I'm very glad to hear that, Nicholas said. He bumped her elbow once again, and Acacia couldn't be sure if it was intentional or not. She picked at the hem of her short, bright pink sundress.
I'm wary of people who put too much value in someone's appearance. In a few years I'll be 40. I know I won't look like this forever. The people who are important to me value who I truly am, not just what I look like.
Nicholas released the gear shift and took hold of her hand. He brought it to his lips and kissed it.
I'm almost 40. It's just a number.
She changed the subject.
I wanted to thank you again for coming to my defense with the woman from Lyon.
Nicholas let go of her hand so he could downshift. She was hateful to you.
Not everyone likes Brazilians,
Acacia observed. Obviously some people lack good taste. She smiled.
It meant something that you defended me. The better I get to know you, the more it means.
I'm glad. Nicholas gripped the wheel tightly. You were very patient with that woman, and also with me. You're much better at controlling your anger than I am.
Years of practice.
I'm sorry to hear that. His tone was sincere. I'm sorry I contributed to that practice in Paris. I regret my behavior very much.
You're forgiven.
Thank you. His eyes met hers before he refocused on the road. Why did you only buy a few things in Geneva? Juliet said you were frugal. Acacia pretended to be fascinated by the straps of her sundress.
I didn't want to waste your money.
Anything bought for your pleasure or comfort could hardly be a waste. You look lovely in that pink dress, by the way. Bright colors suit you.
Thanks.
Acacia folded her hands in her lap. What do you think of Yasmin and Constantine?
I don't judge.
I'm not asking for a moral evaluation. Acacia gazed down at her hands.
Yasmin is an engineer,
but she has to stay with Constantine because she needs his protection.
He cares for her.
Maybe she cares for him, but she didn't seem content or in love.
Acacia shrugged.
It's none of my business, but that is not the kind of life I want.
Nicholas remained silent for the rest of the drive. They parked the jeep at the top of the hill before hiking down to the beach, which was located in a small cove. High red cliffs stood over the dark volcanic sand that stretched toward the water. Rick and Kurt accompanied them as they picked their way around the various sunbathers to an empty set of lounges next to a closed umbrella. Nicholas turned and marked the location of the sun.
Is this all right?
It's good.
Acacia placed her bag and beach towel on one of the lounges. A man approached them and asked for payment to rent the chairs. Nicholas paid him, and he quickly put up the umbrella, adjusting it to provide only minimal shade.
You want more shade?
The man addressed Nicholas in English. Nicholas cast Acacia a questioning look.
No, I prefer the sun.
She unrolled her towel and arranged it carefully. The man continued to the next sunbathers, and Rick and Kurt took their places in deck chairs behind the lounges. Out of the corner of her eye, Acacia watched as Nicholas pulled his linen shirt over his head, revealing his muscled chest and abdomen. His khaki pants followed, leaving him in black swim trunks that fit very well. While he slathered sunscreen on his arms and chest, she removed her sundress and adjusted her tangerine bikini. While many women were topless, as was common in Greece, she kept her top on. She glanced over at Nicholas and discovered he'd abandoned his sunscreen to stare at her. She lowered her sunglasses.
Something wrong?
Not at all. I was wondering if you'd help me. He waggled the sunscreen in his hand.
Sit down.
He sat with his back to her, and she stood behind him. She squirted the white lotion into her hand and smoothed it over his broad shoulders. Under her touch, his muscles tensed and then relaxed. She couldn't help but notice how fit he was.
Your turn,
he said thickly when she'd returned the bottle to him. He rubbed the sunscreen into her skin. His touch was light but focused as he spread the cool substance all over. When he touched her lower back, she shivered.
I should have warmed it first. I'm sorry.
He apologized. She felt his breath on her ear and the heat of his body so close to hers.
It's all right.
He smoothed over her shoulders, a last caress, before he sat back. She thanked him and returned to her lounge, where she lowered herself on her stomach. A cell phone rang nearby. Nicholas muttered a curse and retrieved his phone from a beach tote he'd placed in the sand. Acacia turned her head in his direction.
No rest for the weary?
I'm switching it off. They'll have to do without me for a few hours. He tossed the phone back into the bag. You have my full attention. She laughed.
Sorry to disappoint, but I'm taking a nap. You and your friends kept me out too late last night.
Today is your day. He pulled out a Paris newspaper. If you need anything, Andarta. Anything at all. I'm here. She started at the unfamiliar name, but recovered herself and returned his smile. Nicholas's life was far from simple. She wondered how he could relax when there were so many dangers. But Acacia couldn't deny that the beach was peaceful. She soon forgot about the bodyguards as she dozed in the hot sun. The gentle hum of the people around her combined with the sound of the waves lapping against the sand. The rhythm was soothing. What seemed like hours later, Nicholas touched her shoulder.
I'm worried you're going to burn, mon cher. I think you should roll over.
Slightly hazy from her nap, Acacia simply nodded. It took her a moment to right herself and sit up.
I'm going into the water. Join me?
Nicholas extended his hand. She set her sunglasses down and placed her hand in his. Nicholas's hold was firm. He stroked her hand with his thumb as he navigated around the other sunbathers to the ocean. When they reached the water, his grip on her tightened. Acacia hesitated as the waves kissed her toes. The water seemed cool to her heated skin. She looked over her shoulder and saw that the bodyguards had followed. As they approached, Acacia tugged Nicholas into the sea. The water was at Acacia's waist when Nicholas released her hand. He immersed himself and then emerged from the surf and wiped the water from his face.
Much better.
Water droplets clung to his shoulders and chest and glistened in the sun like tiny jewels. Lower down, the droplets winked at her from a defined abdomen and the beginning of a trail of hair that disappeared below his waistband. She looked away and surveyed the crowded beach and the looming bodyguards, who dipped their toes into the surf. There were many beautiful women, almost all of them topless, who sunned themselves on lounge chairs and towels. A few had wandered into the water and looked like mermaids emerging from the foam. Nicholas stood with his back to the mermaids, his eyes fixed on her. The realization sent a tingle down her spine. She knew she was attractive. Her height stretched out her curves, but her breasts and her backside were generous. Her legs were long, and she had a narrow waist. Nicholas seemed to appreciate her bikini. An arc of water sailed over her. She shrieked as the cold hit her skin. Nicholas laughed. The bastard had splashed her. Without hesitation, she used both hands to splash him back. Nicholas held his arms up to block the spray, but was unsuccessful. With a roar, he charged and lifted and spun her around. Disoriented, she clutched at his shoulders and giggled.
"You are so beautiful."
He stopped turning. They were at eye level, their faces very close.
"I've seen you in a concierge uniform, a bikini, a formal gown, and jeans. No matter what you're wearing, you always take my breath away."
Nicholas's warm body pressed against hers, chest against chest. His arms wrapped around her. She felt safe, perhaps for the first time in years. Nicholas's gaze moved to her mouth. He inhaled slowly, as if he were exerting himself, and placed her on her feet. He released her upper arms.
"I've laughed more the past few days than I've laughed in a very long time. I'm glad."
He lifted his dripping hand and pushed her hair back from her face.
"I may be Sisyphus, but you are Euphrosyne, the goddess of laughter. She's one of the three graces featured in Botticelli's Primavera."
Embarrassed, Acacia looked toward shore. Nicholas took her hand in his.
"We'd better return before Rick and Kurt show us what they look like in swimsuits. Do you think they wear Speedos?"
Acacia burst out laughing.
"So, you grew up in Brazil?"
Nicholas poured Acacia another glass of red wine. They sat in a taverna built into the cliff, overlooking the sea. Their table stood next to the railing and afforded them an exceptional view. But again, Nicholas's attention was entirely fixed on her. They'd changed for dinner. Acacia wore a knee-length, pale purple dress with high-heeled bronze sandals. Nicholas wore a navy linen jacket over a white Oxford shirt and dark washed jeans.
"We lived in Recife. I tried to spend as much time as possible at the beach when I wasn't studying."
Acacia sipped her wine.
"I bet you drove all the young men crazy."
She shook her head.
"As I told you, my mother was strict."
"But not your father?" Acacia placed her glass on the table to steady herself.
"He was strict, too. How about your parents? Were they strict when you were young?"
"Not really. You've met them, so you know they prize manners and deportment. Apart from that, we had a lot of freedom. Perhaps too much freedom."
"Did you go to boarding school?"
Nicholas gripped the stem of his wine glass. "No. I went to school in Geneva and lived at home until I went to university."
"What did you study?"
"Business."
"That's a surprise,"
Acacia teased.
"I thought you were an expert in Lyonnais history and French existentialism. Did you attend the University of Zurich?"
"No, the London School of Economics." Acacia couldn't hide how impressed she was.
"Did you always want to go into business?"
"My parents expected us to be involved in the family business. Riva chose to curate the gallery. I decided to work for one of my father's companies in London. I've always been interested in history, but when I was young I wanted to be a tennis player,
Really?
Yes. Do you play?
A little.
She gave him a half smile.
I wouldn't be a very good opponent.
I doubt that. He tasted his wine. Did you always want to be a concierge?
No. I wanted to be a curator and oversee an art gallery.
Nicholas's eyes widened.